There's a chimney reel five.
Just one stab of pain and it had gone. And so had my tilt-tape.
How did you get out of Burma?
The Americans flew us out. Said they'd fly us out from... They had airstrip. I'm talking now at the end of the Burma, where they were building the Burma Road. They'd follow the Chinese up, building the road behind them. And they had airstrips with the aircraft coming in all the time and going out all the time. So they flew us out, but they couldn't guarantee where we would land, because strip after strip in India was getting washed out with the monsoons. And we landed at this RAF strip with this American plane, and we get off the plane and a RAF boy comes across and he said, well, he said, I don't know about you. I said, I don't know what to do with you. He said, don't know nothing about you at all. He said, anyway, so I'll go and make some inquiries. I said, in the meantime, he said, if you're interested, there's a canteen over there, if you want a cup of tea and something to eat. Well, I think you're nearly killed in the rush. We all stampeded to this canteen. And we all ordered chicken and chips. And this chicken, not just a leg of a chicken, but we said we wanted a chicken each and chips. And this chicken and chips was put before us. Oh, it did look lovely. But after a few mouthfuls, we couldn't eat it. We just could not eat it. We was all violently sick. Our stomachs, I think, had shrunk to such a state on these K rations, the rations that we'd had, because there were times that, although you always had your supply drops, sometimes it wasn't possible to get your supply drop. So you get a supply drop and you'd be issued with 3 days' ration, which had to last you 5 days. Or 2 days' ration to last you 4 days, and things like that. Sometimes we didn't even have a ration. On one occasion, well, on two occasions, one, I killed a pig that we'd bought up one of the locals. On another occasion, the platoon, or the column commander, bought a water buffalo. And I, with the help of several more, killed this and skinned this water buffalo and cut it up and shared it out among the lads. As I said, them few years butchering experience, and I'd just started into butchering before going in the army with a firm that did its own slaughtering. So, although I hadn't done any slaughtering, I had seen, you know, knew all about it, or a lot about it, which served in good stead at that time. But I know this water buffalo, finally, when we did get it actually carved up and issued everybody a bit, the gravy was lovely, but you couldn't eat the meat, it was like leather. But it lasted 2 or 3 days, we used to keep boiling it up and drinking the gravy.
How long did it take you to recover? In India?
Well, when I came out of Burma, I went into Burma a fortnight after I was 20. 20th in February, on the 20th of February, and went in March. We came out, it would be August time, and we went on to light rations at a place called Deira Dun, which meant a lot of chicken and light food for a while. And eventually I was posted as unfit for jungle warfare to Karachi, which was then is where I come change regiments again. I was put in the King's Liverpool Regiment, the 13th Battalion King's Liverpool Regiment, in Karachi. And I was in hospital, in and out of hospital a couple of times with malaria, and one thing and another, and I suddenly thought, unfit. You're not even 21. I thought, oh no, no way. Am I going to be unfit? And it was a good station, was Karachi, and I was on transport, and I wasn't doing a lot of hard training, I was doing more driving, which was lovely. And of course, we were not far from the sea. We went a lot of swimming and what I think. It took me about a year before I really felt fit again. And in that year, of course, we started on with training then. By then we was, or the battalion was training on riverboat, river landing crafts around the Cratchy Harbour. I think if within another month or two, we probably would have gone in again. It would have been before I saw action again. But by then, of course, I dropped the atom bomb and Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and the war finished. And the funny part about it, the day war finished, it was a crime, a punishable offence in the army, to go out in the midday sun. So from 12 o'clock until 4 o'clock, you had to be in barracks. I mean, after doing all that lot, 24 hours a day for 12 months pre-visit, for suddenly to say it's mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the midday sun. It was rather ironic. It finished to it, wasn't it?
Did the your war experience have long-term effects with you?
I had nightmares when I came out. I used to wake up. The wife can't remember. She used to say sometimes, "What was the matter with you last night?" I said, "I don't know why." Well, she says, "You're absolutely, sweat was pouring out of you." And this could be winter time. Absolutely pouring out of you. So I don't know. But it was just nightmares. And I say, you just didn't talk about it. You just, I mean, really, when you're talking like that, who'd really believe you? The whole experience, it was just hard, sheer hard slog.
What was your attitude towards the Japanese enemy? Did you hate them or not?
Well, I don't think we hated them, as hate goes, until you heard of the things and the atrocities that they were committing. I mean, you were times at White City, that one of the floating columns had been ambushed by the Japanese, and they'd got away, got the wounded away, and they'd got to the railway, where they'd found a railway wagon, and they'd loaded these wounded onto the railway wagon and were pushing them towards a block. They were ambushed again by the Japs, and they went in and shot every one of these wounded men. I mean, that's when you begin to hate them. At Margong, while we was waiting for getting these Chinese coming, there were bodies floating down the river with their arms wired behind their backs.
Bodies of who?
Of our lads. Where they'd probably been taken prisoner and had a shot or bayoneted and thrown into the river. And the heat, the bodies bloat up and just floated down the river. Nothing you could do. I mean, do you love them? Do you hate them? You hated them at that time.
Did you take any Japanese prisoners?
We never know. We never was in a position, really, to take any prisoners, if you know what I mean. We certainly didn't go out looking for when they're up on the wire in White City, and as I say, I wasn't really in the fighting, in a manner of speaking, at Margong. Not as they were at the front line. But I don't think many prisoners were taken on either side. I think prisoners were taken for interrogation purposes.
You haven't said much about the local Burmese population. Did you have much to do with them?
Oh, no. We've had very, very little to do with the... We avoided most villages. We skirted most villages. It's only probably on two occasions that we're actually bivouacked. We're nearer a Burmese village, which are very nice villages, actually. I know that they're bamboo houses built on sticks, where the people sleep upstairs and the cattle sleep in the underneath. And down there it's absolutely crawling with lice and you name it. the villages themselves and the huts themselves were beautiful and clean. The Burmese that we saw were, as far as we know, friendly. The thing I didn't mention was the fact that during the night you'd hear the drums and you didn't know whether it was the Burmese telling the Japs where we were or them telling us where the Japs were or what it was. We didn't know who side anybody was when you heard these drums, jungle drums on a night. But we didn't come into contact with very few Burmese at all. As I say, we more or less avoided all villages.